It's Crossover Thursday with Locked On Chiefs, key matchups, bold predictions, and who comes away with the win. It's all coming up next on Locked On Rams.
You are Locked On Rams, your daily Los Angeles Rams podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
And welcome back to another crossover episode. This is Locked On Chiefs, and we all have the Locked On Rams here as well with you. We're going to get into this game, get into the matchups, get into what we think is going to happen, and get into really how this game could play out. Thank you for listening to Locked On Chiefs and Locked On Rams, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. Thank you for making Locked On Chiefs and Locked On Rams your first listen of the day. Don't forget, we're free and available on all platforms, including YouTube as well. I am your host, Chris Clark. He is Travis Rogers, the host of the Locked On Rams. Do not forget, you can go out and look for another show, maybe Locked On NFL Draft, maybe Locked On NFL, a couple of different shows out there. But we have a big game to talk about with the Rams and the Chiefs. And the last time these two teams meet is completely different than the way this one feels.
I'll say. That Monday night game might have been one of the greatest football games in the history of the league. I can almost guarantee you, Chris, this will not be that. I feel very confident that we will not be seeing 54 to 51 again.
Yeah, and I'm with you on that one. I think that that is a very good call out on your part. Crossover Thursday is presented by our friends at Prize Picks. Prize Picks is so much fun and it's easy to play. No competing with other players, just you versus the projections available. Pick 2 to 5 players, and if they score more or less than their Prize Picks projection, you can win up to 10 times your money on your entry. It can literally take less than 60 seconds to enter. It's that easy. We love Prize Picks, and we know you will too. First-time users can receive 100% instant deposit match up to $100 with promo code Locked On. That's prizepicks.com, promo code Locked On. Big story with the Locked On with the Rams right now going into this game.
Yeah, I think the Rams are kind of in a weird spot for the rest of the season because there are still 7 games left for the Rams. This is not where you just have to get through a game or two and get to the end of the line and get to the offseason and get to the draft and figure out what you're going to do in free agency and figure out what you're going to do with the beginning of training camp. They still have virtually half of their season left, and I still don't think that you're going to see Matthew Stafford again. We're still waiting on an official word from him as you and I are talking right now. I would be stunned if they use him moving forward. So I think the big story for me this week is what do you do with this team? And what do you do with your running backs? What do you do with your offensive line? There has been so little that has worked well this season. It's almost impossible to evaluate what you do have because nothing is working. So I think they need to figure out their approach. Do they go into straight evaluation mode? Do you start taking guys off the field? Do you start trying to find a way to make some adjustments and try to win these games? I think Sean McVay has a whole bunch of things on his plate, but winning is probably way down the list.
Well, and just to be clear, you're saying you'd be stunned if he would play again this season, correct?
Yes.
Not just play again, not play this week. I mean, seems like virtual certainty in both of our minds that that Matt Stafford is out this week. Obviously, Cooper Kupp is out this week. That's going to be a hit to your offense as well. Yep. There's questions whether or not Wolford will be available.
Well, this is why I'm convinced that Matthew Stafford isn't going to play the rest of the season. He missed 2 weeks ago against Arizona when he was in concussion protocol, so he did not play there. He went into the game last weekend against New Orleans and barely made it through halftime before he came out. So this is 2 concussions in the space of about 3 weeks. The reason that Bryce Perkins played the second half is because the Rams' backup, John Wolford, got hurt behind that offensive line as well. So the line, believe it or not, as bad as it's been, it continues to get worse. This will be their 11th game of the season. This is their 11th different offensive line combination that they will run out there this week. And I can't imagine somebody that you just extended to the tune of $100 million that you're going to put them out there behind that line at some point between now and the end of the season, especially considering that he's been in the concussion protocol for the last couple of weeks. I just can't imagine seeing it. And in the words of Allen Iverson, for who, for what? You know what we're doing here. So I would not expect to see him this week or anything at any point.
Yeah, and it almost gets worse for the Rams because you don't have a first round pick next year. You traded that away. So you talk about starting to experiment. Well, you're going to be giving up a first round pick that may be in the top three if they continue losing games the way that they have.
Yeah, I keep telling myself this, Chris, that while that pick is going to go to the Detroit Lions, their first round pick, and you're right, it may be as early as, you know, it's going to be in the top five almost assuredly the way that they've played. It does mean that the Rams will get the 37th or 38th pick in the draft when it comes back around the other way, because for the first time in a couple of years, they actually do have a second round pick. So the higher they get in that first round, the higher you get in the second round. So I'll take it right there.
Fair enough. And, you know, Kansas City saw this play out last year, had 29 and 30, and you're not going to get a pick at 29 or 30. That's really probably going to be a guy that you have a first-round grade on. It's going to be a second-round grade. So, you know, picking at that level of, you know, 35, 36, 37, somewhere in there is you're still probably going to get a high second-round graded yep. player. When I look at the Chiefs and I look at this game, my biggest concern is – watching them fall back into habits that they've had at different times in Andy Reid's tenure, and that is playing down to competition. Mm-hmm. And I mean nothing against the Rams, because the Rams have great pieces on defense, so I do think that that's going to be fun to watch. You know, Jalen Ramsey, Aaron Donald, and all those guys play against this offense. But does Kansas City continue to play well on offense, or do they struggle a little bit and play down to the competition? And maybe looking ahead to the Cincinnati game, that's really the big storyline for me, because I still feel like you're looking at a situation where Kansas City is going to be without, Mecole Hardman, obviously, he's on IR. I don't think they get Juju back this week either, and that's a big loss. And then Kadarius Toney went out last week with a hamstring injury, and to this point, we don't know whether he's going to be available for this game either. So you're still sitting there in a situation where you're going to have three of your top six wide receivers down, and you're going to have questions as to how you're going to get the passing game going. Obviously, you still have Travis Kelce, you have Patrick Mahomes. That's helpful. But it's going to be a little bit different than it has been in the past. They were able to get it done against the Chargers. We will talk about whether or not I think they can get it done against the Rams. I'm just afraid my big storyline is that Kansas City has played down to the level of competition and looked ahead to games before. And that with the Bengals game coming up the next week in Cincinnati, which I think could be a huge game for them, I'm hoping they don't stumble and do that again this year.
Yeah, the Rams, Chris, to your point about them playing down to the Rams level of competition, they'd have to bring a shovel and a backhoe and everything else, because the Rams have really struggled. Now, like you mentioned, their defense has had moments that has kept them in some games, but I wouldn't be surprised if this game is similar to the way that a lot of Rams games have gone from the Chiefs' perspective, which is the Rams kind of hang around for a half because the defense can keep them in the game. The Rams on that opening drive have been reasonably effective. Maybe they score some points. Maybe they find another field goal or a touchdown somewhere, and it's 14 to 10 or, you know, 17 to 10, something like that at the half. And it feels like a football game. The second half for the Rams, because their defense is on the field so much of the time, because the Rams have the highest 3-and-out percentage in the whole league, that defense eventually starts to run a little bit thin. Jalen starts to take some chances, and that's when big plays happen. It's exactly what happened against New Orleans last week. They had a big one to Chris Olave. So that's with Andy Dalton. So if you've got Patrick Mahomes and Travis Kelce and some of these other guys, I'm buckling up for a long second half.
And I would hope you're right. I'm just saying that they played down to the Indianapolis Colts when the Colts could not do anything right at early in the season, and they got a beat. So any given Sunday, if you play down to the level of competition, you get sloppy and you turn the ball over, anything can happen. So got to watch out for that. But I want to tell you about our sponsors. Here's a word from one of our newest sponsors, BetterHelp. This show is sponsored by BetterHelp Therapy Online. Unfortunately, life doesn't come with a user manual. So when it's not working for you, it's normal to feel stuck. Therapists are trained to help you figure out the cause of challenging emotions and learn productive coping skills, which makes therapy the closest thing to a guided tour to the complex engine called you. BetterHelp therapy has helped me over the past couple of years as I've dealt with a couple of personal issues and dealing with trying to figure out where I was going to be headed in this life of mine. Everyone deserves to feel their best. BetterHelp makes it easier to get started. As the world's largest therapy service, they've matched millions of people with professionally licensed and vetted therapists available 100% online. All the benefits of in-person therapy, plus it's more convenient, more accessible, and more affordable. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to match with a therapist. If things aren't clicking, you can easily switch to a new therapist anytime. It could not be simpler. No waiting rooms, no traffic, no endless searching for the right therapist. Get unstuck with BetterHelp. Learn more and save 10% off your first month at BetterHelp.com/lockedon. That's BetterHelp.com/lockedon. All right, so let's just dive in here and start looking at the different matchups. You talked about the Rams and where they are offensively with their offensive line. I think that could be a fascinating matchup in this game as to how Kansas City exploits what the offensive line is going to struggle with. And obviously, as you said, if the Rams are playing their third string QB, that's going to be a problem too.
Yeah, the line has been the issue for this team. Like I mentioned to you a second ago, this is the Rams' 11th game of the season. This will be almost certainly their 11th different offensive line combination that they're going to put up this season. But this is how just frustrating and bad it's been, Chris. Ty Nesecki went down against the Saints last week, and it was, oh, man, what are we going to do without him? And Ty Nesecki was the third string left tackle. So it went from Joe Nopum to A.J. Jackson to Ty Nesecki, and now you're down to Bobby Evans, who I was convinced at four or five different times this year he was going to get cut. And I'm convinced he would have gotten cut had they not been in the position that they're in where they're just looking for bodies that can do it. So I think this is why you're most likely to see Bryce Perkins on Sunday afternoon because, and I'm not trying to be funny when I say this, it's simply true. I think he has the best chance to protect himself with his legs. I think he has the best chance to get out of the way of what should be a pretty formidable pass rush because under the best of circumstances, the Rams haven't been able to keep people healthy. They haven't been able to move the ball on the ground. They have not been able to give, whether it's Stafford, whether it's Wolford, or whether it's Perkins, time to look down the field, see where they want to go with the football. It is take that snap, maybe one quick read, and if it's not there, you got to tuck it and go. I think Perkins gives you your best options right there. And then, you know, the another big matchup that I'm looking at, and I can't believe that I'm still saying this heading into week 12, is can the Rams get Allen Robinson involved? This has been, you know, over half the season. This was one of the acquisitions along with Bobby Wagner that I thought really were going to put the Rams in a great position going forward in their title defense. And he's, you know, Wagner's been terrific. Wagner has been everything you hoped you were going to get when you went out and got him. And Allen Robinson has been the opposite of that. He has been, you know, his most receptions in a game is five. He only has three touchdowns through the first 11 games of the season, 10 games of the season, excuse me. And they have not been able to get him going. And I'm not so sure that they wouldn't be in a spot where they're trying to figure out what they want to do with him moving forward. Can they use him? Do they need to move on from him? Can they get something for him? Because he has been an absolute disappointment all season long.
Yeah, and that's a huge issue with the Rams. I mean, you look at Cooper Kupp going out, you thought that you were going to have other offensive weapons that have not materialized. You let a good wide receiver go in Robert Woods to the Titans, and now you're in a situation where you just don't have the offensive firepower, and you're talking about an offensive line that is beaten up, obviously, as you said. That's a big question. Going against this Chiefs defensive line, who right now ranks fourth in the NFL in sacks, and if you would have told me that at the beginning of the season, that at any point during the season they would be fourth in the NFL in sacks, I would have laughed at you. But they've been playing very well. They've been starting to get home, and they're starting to find their rhythm.
Yeah, and the Rams haven't been, like we mentioned, haven't been able to protect anybody. And the opponents that the Rams have been going up against have been getting pressure on that quarterback with just four guys. So when you're getting that pressure with just sending the four and you've got 7 other guys in coverage, there's not a lot of places to put that football. And that's what everybody's been able to do is get home with just those four guys. I'm wondering, Chris, what is, you know, not that there's a lot of things that give him trouble because he's Patrick Mahomes. He's, you know, he's the guy that is, when we were watching Sunday Night Football last week, I was watching with my wife when LA, the other LA team scored, I said, oh, they're going to lose for sure because there was a minute 37 and Chiefs had their timeout. You're like, this is a wrap. He's going to score. Is there a thing that gives him trouble? Is there one thing that not that shuts him down, but that he struggles with more than some others?
You know, I'm not going to say that he struggles with it more than others. I think he struggles with different things that he hasn't seen before. Mm. But his brain works so well, and he has such a great memory that if he sees a defense that he recognizes, he knows where he's going to go with the ball before the snap. And that is very hard for defenses to deal with because when you know where you're going with the ball, and if you're just simply waiting for it to come open, you're in a great situation as a quarterback. He manipulates defenders with his eyes better than a lot of QBs in the NFL. Watching specifically watching that last play where Travis Kelce scored the touchdown last week, if you watch what he's doing to the safety that is on the backside of where Kelce is getting ready to run into, you see that he is focused on Justin Watson, and his safety is watching Mahomes' eyes, watching him watch Watson come across the middle of the field. And the safety starts to trail Watson, and then all of a sudden, guess what? Well, Travis Kelce is going back into that zone where that safety should be. It's a walk-in touchdown because there's nobody there to guard it. So Mahomes is great at manipulating defenders. The thing that really sticks out to me, if you want to look at weaknesses for Mahomes, it is looking at scenarios that he hasn't seen much of. A great example of this is the AFC Championship game last year where Cincinnati came out and they played three down linemen and just went after him with those three down linemen and put eight in coverage. That confused him because he hadn't seen a lot of it. I'm not saying that he wasn't able to figure out some of it at different times, but when you have three defensive linemen going after the quarterback and you have eight in coverage, that's going to mix up the coverage. You're going to put the ball in places where you don't want it to go, and you're not going to get the routes you want and know where you want the ball to go. So that's the biggest thing for me is, can they figure out a defense that's going to, you know, get home and pressure him? Because if you watched against the Chargers, they were getting to Mahomes, but it was after 4 or 5 seconds, which is partially on the QB. That's not really – you can't ask your offensive line to hold him for 6 or 7 seconds and expect that the QB is not going to get hit. So if he's willing to take those hits and throw the ball, they're in a good position.
Well, you should be rest easily because the Rams have gotten virtually no pressure on anybody this season. Leonard Floyd's come around a little bit in the last couple of weeks. He did have 2 sacks against the Saints last weekend, but they just cut Justin Hollins because he has not been able to get any pressure on the quarterback. Aaron Donald, he's by any normal person standards, he's having a decent season. By an Aaron Donald sort of standard, it's been a little bit underwhelming because he's held to such a high standard, but they've been doubling and tripling him all season long. So he has not had a ton of success about getting to the quarterback. And really, no one else has been able to do it. A'shaun Robinson might not even play this week. Greg Gaines really has not been that guy that you thought might step into that role. They've never been able to really find Von Miller's replacement since he left in the offseason. So if you can bottle up Donald, or at least do the best you can with anybody can against Donald, I would expect him to have a lot of time because that is something that the Rams have struggled with all season long. They have not put pressure on the quarterback at all.
Well, I love that you bring up Aaron Donald because if Kansas City is struggling to protect the passer, it's almost always coming from the tackles. Yeah. Donald's a defensive tackle. He's going to be going up against Joe Tooney, Creed Humphrey, and Trey Smith. And I'm not going to say that people can't get past those three, but those three are three of the best in the NFL as a unit, protecting the middle of that offensive line. So I think that's going to be
Rams fans are very familiar with Creed Humphrey because they're still screaming that should have been the pick they took instead of Tutu Atwell a couple of years ago. So I hear his name on a regular basis and I don't disagree.
Yeah. Well, thank you very much for not taking him because he's been everything that I thought he was going to be and more actually.
Well, the good news is, Chris, is that Tutu Atwell in his 2 years with the Rams has touched the football 3 times. So that's very exciting. He's really been an impact player with those 3 touches. It's been a huge.
Well, and it's funny that you talk about that because you're talking about, you know, the Rams getting a second round pick this year, which they haven't had for a couple of years. And the last one they have is Tutu Atwell, and he hasn't done anything for him. So they need to start hitting on more of the draft picks. The other matchup that I'm really going to be fascinated with, and I need to be careful how I say this. I'm not trying to be cocky, but it's the question of who are they going to guard Travis Kelce with? And I'm to the point now where it's not who's going to shut him down. It's a matter of how are they going to slow him down? Because I think he's showing that it's almost impossible to shut him down.
So I think if I had to make a guess as to, I don't know if they'll start this way, but I would imagine that at some point in the game that you're going to get Jalen Ramsey on Travis Kelce. This is what the Rams have done with some other tight ends that have given them some trouble along the way. Most notably, George Kittle, who they play twice a year. Kittle is a good player, but he's not Travis Kelce level good. And Ramsey has been relatively successful dealing with George Kittle. So we'll see if they put him on there. I would expect that the way it goes, because they really don't have a linebacker that can cover him. Whether you use a slot cover guy like a Troy Hill, I don't think that's a great matchup. Jalen Ramsey at least has the size, has the physicality to maybe at least hang in the fight for a little bit. So I would imagine that you'll get Jalen on Kelce at some point in that game.
It's going to be fascinating to watch. Kelce's been on a tear. I'm really excited to see what he can continue to do. And I'm really excited to see what Mahomes is going to do this week, as he's been playing very well as well. And the question is, when it gets to the defense versus the offense, you know, when the Chiefs defense is on the field, you know, they've got some injuries they're dealing with right now, and they have a lot of rookies. So you're hoping that they can just continue to play well and get on going into this game. When we get back from this break, we're going to talk about who we think is going to win this game, what we think the score is going to be, and maybe give you just a little bit more insight into each team. But I want to tell you about our friends over at Bet Online. Bet Online is the place to go if you want to place a sports wagering bet. BetOnline.net is your number one source for sports betting info, stats, news, and analysis. Get the latest odds and trends for every professional and amateur league out there, from football to basketball to soccer and esports. You can get it all at BetOnline.net. And if you love sports podcasts, you can find those at BetOnline as well. We're always the fastest and easiest way to get your betting fixed. Head to the website today or use your mobile device to learn more. BetOnline, where the game starts.
All right. Did you know that the holidays, this is when crimes like burglaries and package thefts spike across the country? This is why our pals at Simply Safe Home Security are offering 50% off of their award-winning security system, so that more families like yours, like mine, like all of ours, can feel safe and secure this holiday season. Order your Simply Safe system for half off today. How about that? Half off today, and enjoy advanced security and greater peace of mind this holiday season. Here's what I love about it the most. You have these crystal clear cameras that you can track right from your phone. You don't even have to be at home to see that. You can see all these cameras inside and out. Everything is run from the app right there on your phone. And Simply Safe just gives you that feeling like somebody has your back. 24/7 monitoring agents, Simply Safe tech support, all of it right there on your phone. And this is why Simply Safe was named the best home security system of 2022 by U.S. News and World Report. That would make it 3 years in a row. So don't miss your chance to save big on the only security system that I would recommend. Get 50% off any new Simply Safe system at simplysafe.com/lockedonNFL today. This is their biggest discount of the year, so don't wait. That's simplysafe.com/lockedonNFL. There is no safe like Simply Safe.
All right, let's go ahead and dive into it. So this is the fun time of the show. Let's get into predictions. What are your predictions for this game?
Well, Chris, I don't know if the Rams, I'm reluctant to say this. The Rams have 7 games left. They have, of their 7 games, I think 5 are almost guaranteed L's. So you're basically looking at a team that's going to be struggling to get to 4 or 5 wins. The 2 games that they have left on their schedule that I think are possibly winnable are both at home at SoFi against the Raiders and against the Denver Broncos, 2 teams that are struggling just like the Rams are. The Chiefs are not one of these teams. The Chiefs are one of these. I think the Rams have not scored under the best of circumstances. And what I mean by that is, even when their offensive line was relatively healthy, even when Matthew Stafford was still in the lineup, even when Cooper Kupp was still playing, and Cooper Kupp on the offensive side of the ball is the one piece of this team that has worked well this season. It's looked like a Cooper Kupp season. He catches his 8, 9, 10 passes a game. It's about 100 yards. He gets into the end zone. He's gone. Stafford's gone. Allen Robinson has done nothing. Van Jefferson has done nothing. Tutu out. We'll just go right on down the line. Tyler Higbee, who has been a weapon for the Rams in the past at the tight end position, they basically have to use him as another tackle. They have to keep him in on almost every play to try to keep that quarterback safe. So as far as prediction goes, I think it's going to be a lot for the Chiefs and very few for the Rams. I think that this could get away from them, because you're starting to see, you know, they cut Darrell Henderson, they cut Justin Hollins. They're in that mode where they're trying to get guys to pay attention. Maybe there's a little bit of, you know, bow your back a little bit and push back. They can't score. Even if the defense puts together a good performance, I still think Kansas City gets into the high 20s at least. I don't think the Rams can get to 20 points, especially with a backup quarterback, and might not even be the backup quarterback. It might be the third string quarterback. So I would not be surprised if this were not a 35-10 sort of situation. I think that this is by far the best team that they've played all year, especially since maybe Buffalo in the opener. The Rams just don't have the horsepower to score. Here's the path for them to win if it happens. Patrick Mahomes has a very bad day and throws a couple interceptions. Maybe one of them gets returned for a touchdown, maybe a special team score, something like that. But just trying to go score for score with this team, the Rams don't have the horsepower.
And I'm glad you bring that up about Patrick Mahomes having a bad day or, you know, a special team score. I could see a special team score. Kansas City's special teams has really struggled this season because of the turnover on their roster from year to year. They lost a lot of the special teams players this past offseason. It's really hurt them going into this year. So I could see that being a possibility. And quite honestly, with as well as Mahomes has been playing, I'm getting to the point of wondering, is he going to have a bad game? Is a bad game coming? And personally, I know this probably sounds wrong, but I would actually rather him have a bad game against a team like the Rams.
Sure.
In this game specifically, because I still think that they have the ability to win, even if he has a bad game, than him have a bad game the next week against the Bengals, where they're going to need him to be at his best. So I'm with you. I think that this is going to be very hard. And I will say this also. I wanted Kansas City to sign Allen Robinson. Mm. I thought he could step in. I thought he could be a number one type wide receiver. He is not that, or I haven't seen it so far this year. We'll see whether or not he's able to do that this year. I'm really curious to see, you know, Allen Robinson and Van Jefferson against these Chiefs corners, because you have so many young guys. Trent McDuffie is playing very well for a rookie. You know, Jalen Watson has been playing well. Joshua Williams has been playing well. They're four deep at corner. Three of them are rookies, and that doesn't even mention Legarius Sneed. So that's going to be something to watch. I agree with you. I think that this is going to be a high-scoring game for Kansas City. I could easily see them get into the 30s. I think that's their average on points this season is just right around the 30-point mark. I could see them being at 35, could be 38, maybe even 40, depending on how this goes. But I will say this as well, when it gets to this game, if it gets out of reach for the Rams, Andy Reid is the type of coach that's not going to run up the score. So it would not shock me for it to stay lower, you know, higher 20s if the Rams are still in the teens.
Yeah, I think that's the point of the Rams season that they're in right now, where guys like Andy Reid, who have been around a long time and know how to do this about as well as anybody, realize that they have a wounded animal, and that if they get up those 3-4 touchdowns, which feels almost inevitable, maybe it doesn't get to 40, but it may get to the high 20s before the half, and nobody calls off the dogs before the end of the half. So I would be really surprised if Kansas City doesn't go over 30. And quite frankly, if the Rams could get to 14 or 17, I think that's a pretty good day for them. I really do, especially considering who they're going to have at quarterback.
Yeah, no, that would be a fantastic day, I think, for the Rams. And I'm really curious to see what Spagnuolo does in this game, because I also think this is a game where he can tinker with what he's got all across the roster and play different guys in different positions and maybe test out, see what you can do, because you're going to have options. And I don't think the Rams offense is going to be what it – obviously it's not going to be what you were hoping it was going to be going into the season, but I don't even know that it's going to be something that's going to be able to put up 20 points, because like you said, they're on their third string QB and they're struggling a wide receiver and playmakers right now as well. So and that's going to be it for us today.
First and second down, just terrible, Chris. They're it's first and 10, second and 9, third and 9, and here we go, incompletion off the field. It's been like that all season long.
Yeah, and it's funny you mentioned third and 9, and that's a huge issue for the Rams, where Kansas City on the other side is completing like 44% of the third downs that are like third and 7 or more, which is insane for third downs in the NFL. But that is going to be it for us today. Travis, thank you so much. It's been a lot of fun. Really enjoyed this. Be sure to check out the Locked On Rams show. Travis does a great job over there. Check out Locked On Chiefs. We will have our predictions for you tomorrow. Thank you for all for listening today, and we'll be back tomorrow.